And when we come on the radio after our team loses, we may bitch, we may yell, we may scream, but I like to eventually just at least present the solutions to a problem instead of whining and complaining. And not to say I don't whine and complain, but I'd like to come here and say, okay, this sucks, but this is what this team should do. And the New York Yankees are really testing me, and they're testing all of us, because I cannot sit here on Tuesday afternoon and sugarcoat the crap we saw last night, or the crap we saw on Sunday, or the crap we saw on Saturday, and Friday, I don't even know how to describe. So the Yankees are a mess right now. It's just what they are. They are in danger of falling out of a playoff spot. And last night, after I finished consuming the game, I started to think. I said, okay, what's my solution? Instead of just fanning the flames like a good troll, I want to offer a solution. And the only solution I can come up with, and it pains me to say, is that they got to try to fire the manager and spark the team. That's where I'm at. And I'm not a fire the manager guy, a fire the coach guy, but I'm being real. The guy's been here since 2018. I like him. I don't necessarily blame him for all their ills. But when you are staring at the mess that this team is, in the quicksand that they are, and quite frankly, I think they're a lot better than what their record says. I do. I think they have the talent of a team that should win in the high 90s. And so I watch this every night. I watch bullpen mismanagement. I watch bad defense. I watch head-up-your-ass baseball. And I've watched the Jazz play over and over again. The more I've watched it, the more angry I get.
Yeah.
And so the only solution I can offer you to the Yankee fans out there is the thing that you would scream at 2 a.m. when calling up Big Mac. And that is, they got to fire the manager. And Aaron, if you're listening, it ain't personal, bro. It's business. Because firing the manager sparks teams. I can sit here all day and list examples of it. So tell me where I'm wrong, Yankee fans. I'm here to offer solutions. And the only solution I can come up with at this point on August 5th is that they got to try something different with this skipper.
I can't believe I'm going to disagree with you, because Boone is testing my patience too, Evan. This team is beyond needing a simple spark. Calling up Brad Ausmus or whatever you're going to do from the bench and managing this team, the same problems will continue
to exist.
How
do you know that?
How do I know that? Because the reason for these problems is so beyond the manager and so organizational. First of all, let me throw this question at you. When we hear Aaron Boone speak postgame, or, you know, we heard him on earlier with Talking Yanks, do you even think you're hearing the real Aaron Boone? Because the real Aaron Boone that I think is a baseball man is the one that kicks dirt, yells savages in the box, and does all that. I think Aaron Boone, unfortunately, as much as he'll never admit this, and it sounds depressing, he is a messenger boy for the Yankee organization. Unfortunately. And the message to that Yankee team and that Yankee roster is that if somebody messes up, F's up multiple times, nothing matters, nothing gets held in accountable fashion. Anthony Volpe is the prime example of this. How could Aaron Boone bench Jazz Chisholm when Anthony Volpe is allowed to start every single day and not be sent down when he throws balls in the dirt, leads the league in errors, has those prolonged slumps? How could he then do the same to Jazz Chisholm when they don't allow him to send an Anthony Volpe down? This is an organizational issue, and Aaron Boone has to answer and send the message the organization wants, and the next guy that Brian Cashman allows to manage this team is going to be given the same marching orders, hence
but Sean,
will change.
Even if you're right, because Brad Ausmus, and I mentioned his name and you mentioned his name, and you're right to mention his name. If they're going to fire the manager, he's the next manager. He's managed before. He has experience. It's an easy, and that's what happens. When you fire a manager midseason, most of the time, you're just promoting a bench coach. So I get that, and I think that's the right answer.
See Rob Thompson.
It does it. Exactly. It's not that Brad Ausmus would be different. It's not that someone needs to scream and yell. It's that this team is in quicksand right now, and I think the only thing that could potentially spark them is that kind of major change. It's not that I think the manager is going to be different. It's that maybe that change, maybe even King Aaron Judge, I struggled to get it out, who returns today. Maybe even he would be shook by a move like that. That maybe even veterans would be shook by a move like that. So it's not about saying it's going to be different in terms of style. It's about saying that maybe this team, which I think, and maybe some Yankee fans disagree, I think this roster is a lot better than their record. I'm sorry. This is a 97-win team, in my opinion.
It's still poorly constructed.
Well, it's not perfect, but it's a 97-win team, in my mind. You can talk about poorly constructed all you want. They're better than their record. They're better than the way they played. You want to tell me you have an issue that Giancarlo can only DH, and now King Judge has to come back and only DH, and you don't like the construction of that. We can debate it all day. I didn't say they're the 98 Yankees. I said they're better than this. And when you are underachieving, you have to try something. So don't misinterpret my try something with Brad Ausmus's magic. It's more, what else are you going to try? They've tried lineup changes.
Uh-huh.
They've tried adding to this bullpen, which I think is stacked right now. They've tried all sorts of different things. And the only thing I have left, just as an IBO here, is let me try to change the manager. Because I saw the Phillies do it. I saw the Astros do it in 04. They didn't get to the World Series, but bringing in Phil Garner changed things. I saw the Marlins do it. I'll even argue I saw the Mets do it. And I love you, Willie, but the Mets got sparked when they fired Willie Randolph. We don't like to talk about that. We don't mention that because they missed the playoffs. They got sparked. And it wasn't necessarily because Jerry Manuel was different. It wasn't necessarily that Rob Thompson was different. Sometimes a change can shake things up. And I'm struggling to find any other kind of change that the Yankees can execute besides this.
All right. So spark is a key word that you bring up there. It'll spark the team. Are the Yankees still scoring runs more often than not?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes they are. Like, you know what? The reason I give you a convoluted answer is they lost last night. They did nothing in the last seven innings offensively.
Still five. So you five runs with that pitching, you should win a baseball game.
That's fine. They blew the game. But you just said something about their offense. I would tell you from the fifth inning on, their offense was dormant.
Saturday
was awful. What
about
Sunday?
Awful.
What about Saturday? Yeah. No, yes, they scored enough runs on Friday, but they're losing in all sorts of different ways. So you want to cite the offense, the pitching, the bullpen? I'll pick every game in which they find a new way to lose.
All right. The reason is they lose this game overwhelming, though, is because they don't play crisp baseball. That base running error by Jazz is one of like 15 moments this year that have happened on the base paths. Heck, it goes back to last year, Sterling running the bases like drunks.
Yeah.
This has existed time and time again. Now, you want to say that's Boone? I think they should practice more fundamentals. That's fine. Anybody who's within that team, Ausmus or not, I don't think firing Boone makes that team stop making those mistakes. As far as some of the pitching decisions go, Aaron Boone putting Devin Williams in the closer role and knowing that he's the fourth best closer on his own team, I think is organizational.
Sean, you're getting lost in the weeds.
No, I'm not.
These
are the reasons they lose. No. It comes from the top.
Yeah,
Until you fire Brian Cashman, no spark is going to happen.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
Okay.
You think anyone in that locker room cares about the general manager?
No, but
the general manager
manages the teams. Let's just say it.
And guess what? The general manager, in my opinion, built a team that's better than what we're seeing on the field. So you want to say I'm taking a paycheck from Brian Cashman? Fine. I actually think he did a good job.
The same general manager who just gave away a top 10 prospect for a guy who had to be sent down to the minors 4 days later.
Stop.
And the same general manager that would have sent down another guy they traded the deadline for Aaron Judge today, if not for an Austin Slater.
That's ridiculous. So you're saying
two of his four acquisitions would have been in the minor leagues today from 5 days ago. Not on the GM?
No, first of all, you're judging Jake Bird on 5 minutes. They got him partially because he's under team control next year. Think about Waskar Brazoban last year with the Mets.
Well,
but the problem is, you get me in the weeds on this. Because it's not about the weeds of last night's individual move or what happened over the weekend. It's they have been in a malaise since June 13th. Okay?
Boy, do I know it. I understand.
And you know what started on June 13th, this malaise for both the Yankees and the Mets? Tiki being out and me and Sean debating who's the better team in New York, the Mets or the Yankees.
Oh, God,
that's when the malaise started.
I keep forgetting that we did that.
But you got to forget the individual moves. It's the grander picture. He's been here since 2018. While they've had success, like going to the World Series last year, there seems to be this common issue with the lack of fundamentals and the smartness that they play. And so what I'm telling you on August 5th isn't that Brad Ausmus is perfect or even Brian Cashman's perfect. It's, if you don't want to fire the manager because it doesn't fix anything, what would you do? Because other than
I fire the real manager.
They're not doing that in the middle of all. It's not making a difference.
Exactly. They're not doing it. They're not firing Boone either. So we're doing hypotheticals.
But I think it makes more sense. I do. I think it does. And I can see it. Now, Cashman hasn't done this as Yankee GM, but go through baseball history. Good teams that underachieve their team by firing their manager.
I'm with you typically. I think the Yankees are a different situation.
Why?
Because, first of all, from the post-World Series era to 2018, that Girardi run had a lot of mishaps. I mean, we look gloriously back at Joe Girardi. The common thread is the Yankees started to be a team that was managed from an organizational standpoint. You want to say a spark means what? A spark to fix a team means the Yankees suddenly wake up and stop playing sloppy baseball. I don't believe they're going to wake up and stop playing sloppy baseball.
They all of a sudden woke up and started playing sloppy baseball because for the first 2 months, they didn't play like this.
But they've done this all in there. The first 2 months last year, too. It's something that clicks with this team. You want to call it a Boone problem? I don't even love Aaron Boone, the manager, but I don't even believe we hear the real Aaron Boone. Until you fire Brian Cashman, firing the manager is not going to spark a team like it did the Phillies. Firing the manager is useless because, unfortunately, he'll take this as a slight. He's not even the real manager.
First of all, he is. Like, you think last night's bullpen decisions are on Brian Cashman? Is that what you think?
I believe Brian Cashman has dictated who the closer of this team is.
I don't believe that. And I know this has been stated over and over again for the last few years. Like, Aaron Boone doesn't make decisions. There's more input from the front office, no question about it. But ultimately, he's deciding who the closer is. He decided to stick with Devin Williams. He also pretty much closed the door on Devin being the closer last night because his words after the game and even today are, we'll talk about it. Well, we'll talk about it means he ain't going to be the closer anymore.
Or we'll talk about it means he's going back to the guy who told him that was his closer and telling him, I can't do this anymore. It's my job.
I don't necessarily believe that. As more hands-on as front offices are, and they certainly are, I don't believe this fictitious story that a lot of people have created that basically Aaron Boone's getting phone calls in the middle of games coming from the general manager. I don't buy it. Now, if you buy that, fine.
You think this lifelong baseball guy doesn't understand fundamentals or wouldn't be willing to send an Anthony Volpe down and wake the team up?
Well, first of all, the general manager's always made that decision on who's on the roster or not.
Exactly.
That's not a new thing.
Exactly.
And that's not why
you don't think if Boone had his preference, Volpe would have been sent down a long time ago? That started it. But he can't bench anybody when Anthony Volpe has to be trotted out there every night.
That's one individual thing. I'm talking about...
It's a trickle-down, dude.
I'm talking about overall the underachievement of this roster, which is better than obviously you think it is. I think that... I look at this roster, I say they should win 97 games. They should be better than this. And they've been underachieving for months. And so I'm not opposed at the end of the season to saying, hey, let's reevaluate the whole bad boy and maybe Cashman is gone. Uh-huh. I'm talking about August 5th. August 5th, firing the general manager just gives you blood. It doesn't do anything. Firing the manager can work. Because there's millions of examples of it. And I don't know what else they can do. Like, they're in quicksand right now. And they're losing games in brutal fashions, night in and night out. And it doesn't mean it is Aaron's fault. It means I gotta try something. If I am the Yankees, if I'm in Brian Cashman's seat, what I'm deciding on this day is I'm not going down without a fight. I went out and traded for bullpen arms. And by the way, last night, at least Bednar and Doval looked pretty damn good.
Yes, they did.
And I believe those are good moves. So I have to try something instead of letting this team sink. And they're sinking. Because the other thing that's going on, and Aaron acknowledged this, is, hey, maybe Friday got to them. Well, what do you think Monday did? They were two outs away from winning, and this fat, out-of-shape, overpaid bum hit a game-tying home run. By the way, when I say fat, out-of-shape bum... Those aren't my words. That was the Yankee broadcast team. In fact, would you like to hear a little dig we put together?
Sure.
So last night, as you guys may recall, the Yankees are two outs away from winning. And here comes Jock Peterson. I present to you Ryan Rucco, David Cohn, Susan Waldman, all describing Jock Peterson before he hit the game-tying home run.
Hitting 126, two homers, six ribbies all year. He's just having... He missed 2 months of the season. He had a broken hand.
You can see the physique definitely has evolved for Jock.
Yeah, he's just had an awful, awful year. He's hitting 126.
Stunning. Those numbers are absolutely stunning from Jock Peterson, who signed a two-year, $20 million deal to come over here. Hitting a .126.
And here is Jock Peterson, who has really struggled.
His pitch swung on. Fly ball deep right. Tie ball game. Jock Peterson with a home run ties it at 5-5.
I just want to make it clear. I didn't call him fat. That was Ryan Rucco.
Yeah.
When he talked about his body changing.
He really filled out that uniform.
So that's not on Aaron Boone. Unless you didn't want to go to Devin Williams in the ninth inning, which I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans didn't want to do. But when you continue to suffer backbreaking loss after backbreaking loss, and last night is almost on the same level as Friday, you worry if a team can handle that. So what are you going to do other than whine about your general manager? My answer is, I got to shake it up. And I like Aaron, and I don't think he's the problem. But on August 5th, when my team is in quicksand, you got two choices. You can be a spectator and say, fingers crossed, or you can do something about it. And I don't like it. It's not fun coming on the radio suggesting this, but I'm being real to you because you've known me for a couple of years, more than that.
Yeah.
I'm not one to just say, fire the coach, fire the manager. I don't do it. I don't do that. But I'm trying to give you an answer on August 5th. Now, you don't want an answer. We could all just sit here and bitch for 4 hours.
No.
We can just do that, and it offers no solution.
I'm giving
you a solution that for some reason, your eyes are so bloodthirsty for Cashman that you can't even think about, well, what does it now?
I just disagree with the fact that firing Brian Cashman wouldn't do anything for the team on August 5th. I think a room full of guys who were acquired by that general manager who the owner is saying is no longer worthy enough, who's been here for years, sends a message and also maybe allows Aaron Boone to manage the way he wants to manage.
That whole thing, like, you really think he's not being allowed to manage? He's managing.
I think there are certain things he's allowed to do, certain things he's not. I think the idea that on Thursday when they make those acquisitions and we find out after the game Friday that none of those relievers went to sleep before they were thrown into that game and all stunk, I think that he was given his marching orders. We got to show off our new pieces.
Oh, stop.
And they imploded.
No, it wasn't show off new pieces. It was, I got these new pieces. Let's try to win a game.
None of them slept. And he went to all three.
Oh, come on. Now, that's a complaint?
It was what happened.
I understand.
That is what happened.
Sean, that's baseball.
He was told to pitch these guys on no sleep. And they lost the game. That game's on Brian Cashman.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. That's
no,
what happened.
It's not.
That's not even an opinion. That's literally what happened.
Guys don't sleep. It's baseball. There's travel. Brian Cashman supplied Aaron Boone with talent. A much better bullpen. We saw glimpses of that yesterday. They didn't execute. Don't put that on Brian Cashman. You don't even have to put that on Aaron Boone. I'm not picking one move to pile on Boone with. I can find him, like letting Austin Wells hit and not using Ben Rice. Like, I can find
moves. What kind of message does it send to a locker room to bench a guy for forgetting how many outs Austin Wells, getting caught like Jazz, when the entire organization has coddled Anthony Volpe and that home run was looking like, can't believe this guy's not in Scranton
right
now?
Because there's a big difference between ineffective play and having your head up your ass. There's a huge difference.
Oh, I'm sorry. Has Volpe's head not been up you know what in a long time?
Defensive miscues are far different.
Miscues, he leads the league in errors.
I understand. It's not the same as base running gaffes. It's not the same as forgetting how many outs there are. It's just not. Look,
okay. What
do you want to do then? Because your only alternative.
I think firing Cashman wakes him up.
It's not doing any of firing your general manager in August.
Firing the
right
manager,
after he made a bunch of good trades, in my opinion.
Good trades. He had two of the four basically headed for Scranton today.
How did David Bednar look last night?
Bednar looked great.
How did Camilo Duvall look last night?
Duvall looked great.
Okay, I think the Yankees have a stacked bullpen, despite Devin Williams' issues recently. In fact, they could afford to live with Devin Williams being buried because their bullpen is so good now. So you putting that on Cashman's ridiculous.
He could have traded Devin Williams and took that decision out of Aaron Boone's hands. Didn't do that.
Not fair.
Not fair.
No, because their
we've all been saying it.
Their best option was for him to still be here.
Oh, what a great option, Evan. 5 runs in his last 6 outings.
He's struggling.
Pete Alonso broke him. He stinks.
And Tommy very sarcastically says into my ear, what's up with the thermos? Like, what are you going, camping?
Hold on. In my defense,
yeah.
I've known you for, I don't know, 20 years, whatever it's been. You drink a lot of water.
Yes.
But you drink it, you know, right out of the bottle from the table.
All true.
Yes. This is the first time I've seen you with said thermos,
so
I found it interesting.
I'm going to give you an answer that you will appreciate. I believe in trying to better yourself. Like, I am not a perfect person. I'm far from it. And I know some of my issues, whether it's on the air or off the air. And one of the issues I have that really pisses Tommy off is when I drink said bottles of water, I do not finish. I leave them half open, half empty in my office. And so I had a game plan with my wife on how to fix this issue. And what I am doing now is drinking water out of a thermos. And so there's always water there. If I need more water, I'll go to the bottle of water, I'll fill it up, and there will never be bottles hanging around. So this is actually a gift for you, Tommy.
So I walked right into this. I probably shouldn't have been as snarky when I saw it, because it does drive me nuts that you will have several half-drunk bottle of waters in the studio, and I have to clean it up like I'm the maid.
And guess what? Now you won't, now I have a thermos and there won't be any more bottles.
You just got to make sure you bring it back to your office every day. I'm not going to be responsible for it if it gets left in the
studio. No, don't worry about that. I'm not like BT who's hanging his pants from the top of the studio for 5 days.
Pants still here. I'm shocked at you, though, Evan.
What's that?
I tried to be thermos guy for a while. I don't like it. First of all, you got to wash out, clean it out a bunch. If you let it sit with water, you can eventually get it moldy. I find it to be more of a pain in the ass.
Sean, this is day one of Evan Thermos.
Okay.
There's no guarantee it's lasting.
I'll go green for a lot of things. Keep giving me my plastic bottles.
No, I get you. By next Tuesday, there'll be bottles of water all over the studio. Now, real quick, before we get to your phone calls at 888-808-1019, I came to the conclusion last night that the only thing left for the Yankees to try to do to spark this season, unfortunately, is to change managers. And while Brad Ausmus may not seem like the perfect answer, I do think that firing the manager will sometimes spark teams. We've seen it before. So I had that opinion going to sleep last night. I listened to Aaron this morning. He did his weekly spot with John Boy and crew. And Aaron said something that affirmed my opinion.
Okay.
Him speaking actually confirmed, as much as I like Aaron, it's time to go. Take a listen to example number one. This is Aaron Boone's words, not mine, on why I think we'll all agree they have to move on from him.
The tough, difficult thing for me right now is I really feel like we potentially have such a good team right now, and we have not been able to put it together. And that's a big part of that is on me. Like, you know, I got to help set the tone to put these guys in a position to realize their potential.
Great point. You're right, Aaron. It's on you. They have a lot of talent. It is on you. And I took that, and I appreciate that accountability, by the way. I think that's what good leaders do. But I was thinking about it, and I'm like, some bitch is right. It is on him. And that's Clay example number one. I want to give you another example.
Okay.
He then goes on to talk about how good he thinks this team is, which I agree with him on. And if they're that good, and yet they're battling potentially for the last playoff spot, who's that on? Here's more from the manager.
You know, this is, you know, I tell a lot of people privately, I'll tell you guys now, like, I in a lot of ways, I feel like this is potentially the best team we've had here over the last several years.
Wow.
But we got to put it together and go realize that potential, because that's all it is right now as we, you know, lose these games. Like, we got to go. And I do absolutely believe that we have that run in us, especially with the personnel we have. But, you know, talk is cheap. This is just on paper right now. It's got to happen.
A lot of what he said is true. I started thinking about it. I started thinking of the 18 Yankees, 19 Yankees, 20 Yankees, 21. Started thinking about all these teams. I'm like, he's kind of right. This is as talented as they've had. How are they sitting there at 60-53, tied for the last playoff spot? How's that possible? And I think back to his first mention of, it's on me, I got to get them ready. Well, you haven't done it. And we are now 113 games into this season. And so Aaron Boone, and I respect him, he's a good guy. We'd offer him a job, maybe replacing Sean as the third voice on this show if he doesn't have a job for the New York Yankees. Sorry, Sean.
No, it's all right.
He's Aaron Boone. He's got a lot of opinions.
I'll go manage the Yanks. Devin Williams has seen the sixth inning list.
So I agree with what he's saying. It just reaffirmed that they got to try something, and it involves him.
I understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
I'm not going to keep doing the chicken or the egg thing. I just really believe with this Yankee team, it is not going to make a solitary single bleeping difference.
Hey, Tommy, real quick, as the executive producer of this show, what do you think of Evan and Tiki with Aaron Boone? Like, he provides the Yankee insight, and he brings the Eagle stuff.
Oh, just what New York needs.
Which, with Tiki and you, Tommy? Oh, my God.
Oh, it'll be electric radio. Now, Aaron would have to take a massive pay cut to come work here. But if he's willing to do that, you know he likes to chop it up. He is a listener in the off season. Yeah, we could get rid of Sean easily.
All right.
I did see that New York Porch Sports already took your joke, too.
Which is what?
Aaron Boone asked John Boy Media if they'll be hiring. Quote, when? Quote, soon.
Oh, there you go.
So, sort of peek on that.
All right, let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Mike's on Long Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. You know, I'm not going to play ticky-tack of it's Cashman, it's Boone, it's this, it's that. There's just a couple of things that bother me about Aaron Boone, and it doesn't seem to be that he holds these players accountable. And one perfect example, and maybe because I'm a parent, maybe because I'm a teacher, but I really didn't like that he pulled Jazz Chisholm after making a little league mistake into the clubhouse to talk to him about it, and then he put him back in the game. I mean, Billy Martin pulled out Reggie Jackson out of a game, sat him down. That fired things up. But you know what? He ripped his coach, his adult male coach, in front of the cameras in the dugout, in front of everybody. And that sends a message that he is, oh, the players, it's okay. I'll make mistakes. I'll make excuses for your mistakes. But you ripped your, one of your coaches in front of cameras?
Yeah.
That was childish. And he has no accountability for his players. And he needs to go.
So,
and maybe that'll shake things up.
So two things. Number one, Aaron addressed that and said that was not done on purpose. And he would have preferred to have talked to one of his coaches. I think it was Travis Chapman. He would have preferred to have done that without the camera seeing it. Now, you don't have to believe him. You could say, nope, this was all done on purpose. But that's at least what he said. Number two, so I was on with Al Cintron at about 1 a.m. on Saturday night. It was very funny.
Were you?
I was. Al asked me to come on. He's a nice guy. I love Al.
He called in yesterday.
Did he really?
Yes.
To talk about what?
I said that all adults that go to wrestling events without kids are children.
Oh, my God.
While he was sitting next to me, an adult with no children that goes to wrestling events.
So Al defended his honor?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I went on Al's show, and I was honest with him. I said, I'll come on. I'll talk Mets. I'll talk wrestling. I have the Yankees on DVR. I had a very busy Saturday. I went whitewater rafting. And what I do, especially on the weekend when I'm not working, is I'll get to everything. So I was on with him, and he was like, hey, what do you think of the Jazz stuff? And I was like, bro, I'm about to watch the game. So he described it to me. I heard Jazz's comments, and then I watched it. Mm-hmm. So I had a unique perspective of hearing people's opinions about Jazz.
And heard Jazz's postgame?
Heard Jazz's postgame, and then I watched it.
Okay.
And my reaction to this was, I am stunned how bad it looked. It looked worse than I thought.
Yeah.
It worked worse than what Al even said, what the callers even said. And even what Jazz said about, hey, look, I thought he was going to drop it. I know Xavier Edwards. I used to play here. I watched that clip again, and here's what I can't get over. Because when I heard Jazz explain it, I said, you know what? He probably has a good point.
Explanation? He said he would do the same thing all over
again? Said he would do it again, but he was explaining why he would do it again. That he was on alert for Edwards potentially dropping the ball on purpose and getting the lead runner. Okay. I heard his answer. I watched the clip. I like Jazz. You know I like Jazz.
I do, too.
It felt like a bull-faced lie.
Yeah.
Because the body language on Jazz Chisholm on that pop-up, and I watched it 13 times, was someone who didn't give a rat's ass. It was not somebody who was staring at Xavier Edwards saying, let me see what I'm going to do.
Sounded like he was thinking about something else.
It looked that way.
Or looked that way, yeah.
It looked that way. So
and you live with the fact that if you got thrown out at second because he came up with a crazy, kooky idea of dropping the ball, you live with that. You can't live with what happened.
No, you can't live with what happened. And I thought it looked horrible. Like, I watched it. If he was so small and subtle but big to me, if Jazz Chisholm was, like, bouncing on his heels, like, in the ready position, yeah. I would have said, okay, clearly I see what he was doing. He was standing there and then glanced away from the play for a second.
Chisholm! I don't know if you feel this way, too, but this goes back to Boone and the organization and disciplining guys. After every one of these Volpe errors, he seemingly has had these big home runs where we go, see? Well, that's why you got to play him. I thought Jazz getting back in the lineup Sunday and then homering in a game that was basically out of reach was the worst thing that could have happened for the Yankees because it further justified why would you have a bench anyway?
No, I get you. Hold on. We have to dump that. He basically starts off by cursing. Let me put you on hold for a second, Luigi. I'm not sure I'm going to get rid of him. I just need to edit out the curse.
Yeah.
I got to remind the audience, as crappy, and he didn't use the word crappy, as crappy as the Yankees are, and I get it, they're bad right now, we can't be using that kind of colorful language.
I don't like what you're doing, though.
What am I doing?
You put him on hold.
Yeah.
You're being Aaron Boone. You're not holding him accountable. His call should be over.
Well, no, hold on a second. I think Luigi is a good caller who wanted to make a really good point.
But don't you have to learn a lesson?
I'm giving him a timeout.
How could you call for Aaron Boone's firing and now allow Luigi to do that? It's hypocritical.
Because it's about performance, not about the individuals of holding guys accountable. I know that's a big thing to a lot of people, like our last caller, but it's about the results. My calling for Boone's firing isn't about a movie made last night or even the overall accountability. It's about the record. Bro, it's about the results. It's about where they are in the standings. It's about the fact they've been a bad team for 2 months now. It's the fact that I got to try something if I'm on a sinking ship.
But
don't get it confused, Sean. That's why when you get in the weeds about individual moves, I remind you, that's not why I'm saying this. I'm not saying this because of Devin Williams in the ninth inning last night or Jazz Chisholm on Sunday or Saturday. I'm saying it because
They're not winning.
All right.
I got to try something.
So try something. Put Luigi back up. Now you've sent a message to every caller. Even if they're bad, they are allowed a mistake and they're allowed to keep going.
You know, do you agree with that, Tommy?
I'm on Evan's side
Thank
here.
You. Thank you.
And I think this just shows you how bad the Yankees are that Yankee fans are now resorting to curse words. Like, we shouldn't punish the fan for being upset. You know what I mean? Had they fired Boone and Cashman, then Luigi would not have cursed on the air.
Absolutely.
Right?
I think that's a great point. The other thing about cursing is, if you come on the air, if you prank call us and you say, bleep you and bleep it, obviously that's bad. Then you get slapped on the tuchus and you're not on again. That was a Yankee fan being emotional about the way they're playing. By the way, the reason I vamped for this long is the way the 7-second delay works, just to take you behind the magic here, is it takes time to build up again just in case someone else curses. So let's go to the fill-in board op, producer, whatever, of this show today, Paul Rosenberg. Do we now have time to take another call? And if they curse, we can hit the button again.
Yeah, we're okay.
We're okay. So now I'm going to give him a second shot. Actually, should I? You know what I'll do? I'll go to every other caller, so I'll make them wait longer.
Now, if you go to them, go to them.
Okay, so you said I should just go to them.
If you're making a call to go to them, you don't make them wait another half an hour. Get it over with.
All right. Luigi and White Plains, I need to reprimand you. You're not allowed to curse. Now, please make your point.
I apologize. I'm a very frustrated, very, very frustrated, loyal Yankee fan. And I apologize.
It's okay. We accept it. Thank you. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Evan. Thank you for taking my call back. I do agree that we need to fire Aaron Boone. I also think that we should fire Brian Cashman. Enough is enough. We have been having the same problems for the last, I don't know, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. And it's not getting any better. I think it's getting worse and worse every year. And that's it. I think it's time to make a move.
The thing about Luigi, and Sean's made this point about turning on Brian Cashman. I could sit here and defend this roster, and I will, because I actually like this roster. But I get, during the offseason, if this team fails to make the playoffs, opening up the discussion again to moving on from the GM. I don't think he's above reproach. I'm not suggesting that.
Just about a different feel and look to the organization.
I get it. I'm, again, not arguing that. On August 5th, when I am trying to save the season, firing the general manager after the trade deadline doesn't accomplish what I'm trying to do, which is turn the season around. And again,
that's where we disagree.
Okay, and I go back to Boone's point. This is where I agree with Boone. I think this is one of the most talented rosters he's had. Is he wrong? Am I wrong?
They just played most of the year without a functional third baseman on the roster.
Look at up and down this lineup.
The rotation is not as good as it's been in years past.
Look at the bullpen.
Bullpen now is stacked.
Look at the depth of the lineup. 2 years ago, it was Aaron Judge and Pray for Rain. Like, let's be fair about what this lineup is.
Some of this lineup, but yes.
Okay. I'm just pointing out that I don't think it's that crazy to suggest this roster is one of the best he's had, and they should be a high 90s win team, and they haven't played that way. And 98% of the time when that happens, when a roster is built, and we mostly think it's a pretty good roster, and there's underachievement going on, what do you do?
All right, fire the manager.
You still
entered last night with Austin Slater hitting fifth in a must-win game. But, okay, the roster's great.
He mashes lefties.
Yeah.
Let's go to Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, guys? 2 points, if you don't mind, and I'll try not to curse.
Thank you.
The first one is about accountability. When the Yankees had their dynasty teams, and I know we all like to go back to this stuff, but the players, it was Jeter, it was Posada, that were holding each other accountable. I don't know that if that is or isn't going on this team, but, you know, you can have a successful manager. Obviously, Joe Torre was a very successful manager, and he wasn't known for his player accountability, but he had guys on the team that would do that for him. That's my first point.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Second point is this is what people seem to forget about this Yankee team is this is a very young team. Most nights you have 5-6 guys in the lineup that have only been in the major leagues for 1 to 3 years. So that's where I think that the Yankees would be better moving on from Aaron Boone. I'm not sure that he's the type of manager that would do really well with young players because of how supportive he is. These guys don't need support. They need to be coached.
Yeah.
They need somebody to show them the way. And to be perfectly honest, I was a huge fan of Joe Girardi. Girardi was known for being very good with young players, especially in his Marlin days. I would love to see them bring back Joe Girardi.
Wouldn't that be something? I don't think it's possible only because it feels like Brian Cashman was done with Joe Girardi.
Yeah.
And so to go back,
follow his orders.
To go back a decade later, I don't think it was that. I think it was a personality thing. You continue to say that doesn't make it true. Like, I just think Joe Girardi was more of a hard ass.
And he was they need that personality. Cashman's not going to hire that personality. Hence why they need to fire the general manager.
Hold on a second.
Sorry. Now I'm pissed off.
You're getting very emotional about this. I completely agree that Joe Girardi was different. And sometimes for most teams, it's not 8 years. You know, the Yankees are unique in how long they keep their managers based on the success they've had. It's a credit to the success they've had. But usually when you fire a coach or you fire a manager, you tend to bring in a very different personality. I think a great example of that is literally looking at the New York Jets history. They go every other with their head coaches. Think about it.
I think the Mets are a good example off of Buck to go what you did with Carlos Mendoza, too.
Yeah, to a degree. I think the Jets are a better example. Okay. Sorry to go back to football. I know you don't like that.
Always bring everything back to the Jets, Evan. It's very disheartening.
That's a good point. Well, in this case, it works. Herm Edwards, play to win the game. Eric Mangini, I won't even tell you what leg is injured. Rex Ryan, we're going to meet Obama. Todd Bowles, what's up? Adam Gase, my eyes are darting all over the place. Robert Saleh, hey, I love you guys. We're great. Everything's fine. I'm not going to punish anybody for doing wrong. Into Aaron Glenn.
We're the freaking New York Jets. So
Thank you.
Wow, Rose.
That is a real eclectic mix of coaches. And look, Todd Bowles is a great example because Todd Bowles is a good head coach. I have to admit that. It just didn't work after a while here. So it doesn't mean he didn't deserve another opportunity. Sometimes that style doesn't work. So to get back to his point in relating Girardi to Boone and where they go next, you probably do need something different. And now what you're saying is, well, Cashman won't allow that. No, Cashman's going to allow whatever he thinks helps him win. That's what he's going to allow.
I think Brian Cashman for years in this organization built up enough equity and wanted to get to this point where he called the shots with a baseball figurehead that, you know, would make whatever in-game actual moves, but overall the managing of the team is done by Brian Cashman. We've gotten too far where if you're not firing Brian Cashman, nothing's going to change with the new manager.
Well, let's hear from Mr. Fire Brian Cashman himself, John at Maspeth, who was basically apologizing to Brian on Friday. John, what's up?
Yeah, listen, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of seeing how low this team can go. It's like every damn week, there's a new rock bottom, and whether it's the bullpen or the bats going cold or just creating errors on defense or on the base paths, this team always manages to find a goddamn new way to screw the game up and blow the damn game. We all knew Devin Williams was going to blow the game last night. All of my group chats were like, well, here comes Devin Williams to go blow it. We all knew what was going to happen. And the fact that they were just talking about, oh, here's Jock Peterson. He sucks this year, batting 120. Well, that's what the Yankees suck against. The Yankees suck against sucky damn teams and sucky damn players. A change needs to be made. Fire Boone. Fire fire him. Fire him right now. Aaron Boone, if you're listening, well, you're not listening because it's a road game, right?
It's a long-ass season.
Free Odyssey app.
Fire him today. Nothing, you know, just fire him. It doesn't make a difference. Fire him. Get Brad Ausmus in there. You know what? The Phillies fired Girardi in the middle of the season. And what? Rob Thompson, the former bench coach, took the team to the World Series. We had Carlos Mendoza as a bench coach the last several seasons. He's turning out to be a pretty good manager for the Mets. Get Boone's ass out of there. I'm tired of him.
I thought he was done. There was like that pause where I'm like, all right, he's done.
That was a weird jungle because it had its highs, but he didn't fully stick a landing at any point.
No, I know why. I can surmise something. And if I'm wrong, John will correct me. I think he's enjoying his Tuesday. I think John and Maspeth was a little tipsy.
Oh, okay.
That's the impression I got.
Liquid lunch from John?
I think so. Because he's a frequent caller to WFA, and you start to know people. You start to know their mannerisms, the way they speak. There was a little slurring going on. And as long as John's being responsible, and I'm sure he is, I'm sure he's very responsible, I think what we just heard was drunk John from Aspeth.
Well, good for him if he's enjoying a Tuesday like that. How big a cesspool do you think a group text is that involves John and Maspeth and anybody else that will engage in Yankee talk?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that?
There has to be some real dark stuff in there.
I don't want to be in that group chat.
I don't. I'm the furthest thing from there.
It's like Tiki in the Mets chat that I have where you watch. You observe things. I'd like to observe things. And look, John said a lot of things. He used very colorful language. But the moral of his point is kind of accurate. Like, it's nothing personal with Aaron. It's just we're 113 games into a season in which this team has been a bad team for a couple of months. And he's been around since 2018. And I'm looking around. I try to be a solutions guy. I could say, change the lineup. I could say, DFA this guy. And I've done that over the few months of coming up with different things to help this team. I think sometimes you got to fire the manager. Now, the one thing that'll be unique about this, I admit, is most of the managers fired that has sparked teams in the past. This happened earlier in seasons. Like Rob Thomson took over 51 games into the year. Jack McKeon back in 03 with the Marlins took over 38 games into the season. Paul Owens, when he took over for Pat Corrales with the 83 Phillies, they got to the World Series, was 76 games into the year. The latest
Joe Maddon was early when he got canned, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't remember him getting canned. So I really can't answer that.
Didn't he get canned early with the Angels?
I don't. Oh, the Angels. Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking of Cubs for some reason. The other one that's weird that's late in the season, but I can't count it, is when George Steinbrenner fired Gene Michael and then hired Bob Lemon, who was always his go-to when he fired somebody, and the Yankees got to the World Series. He actually did that late in the season. But I don't include the George stuff. You want to know why? It was unique.
Happened all the time.
It was different. But in terms of firing a manager and sparking your team, I admit it usually happens in May or in June. But I would try something because I don't know if you guys feel this way. They're sinking. They're in quicksand.
I think the one thing we could bank on is, as much as I might want to fight this, you are like the Grim Reaper. I think he is going to get fired because you've started the show this way.
Really?
Evan.
What does that mean?
You were all over Robert Saleh basically within 48 hours.
That's true.
And the day Tom Thibodeau was fired.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody in the world thought we should lead with that except for you in a meeting. And within an hour.
He got fired.
He got fired. So my worry is, for Boone, the moment Evan Roberts speaks into a microphone, the recent track record in this town is his days are numbered.
You think I have inside information?
I don't think you have inside information.
You think Hal texted me last night?
I think you have, like, you know how people get lucky with lottery numbers? I think this has no effect on your life whatsoever, but I think, you know, you have a sense of things, and I think it's coming.
I'm not predicting it because I understand your view and a lot of Yankee fans' views that they would never do this. I'm literally being an IBO, and I try very hard to do that. I sat there last night. I watched the game when I got home from the Met game. I sat there this morning, and I thought, and I was thinking about things. Spence was on the playground. He was going down slides. He was going up swings. He was doing all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, I'm thinking about what the Yankees should do.
That's a good dad.
Well, I was paying attention.
These kids got to get back to school, by the way. Aren't you feeling the same way now?
Yeah.
Enough.
I mean, I'm with you. It's August 5th. Get me to September 5th.
By the way, I heard from John and Maspeth off air because he heard the accusations by one Mr. Evan Roberts that he's enjoying his Tuesday. And John said, I'm not enjoying my Tuesday. I'm actually not feeling well, and I've been in bed all day.
Oh, that sucks. So, he's such a pillar of health. I'd assume he feels great.
Well, what are you over there, Brad Pitt? Are you running marathons? You could barely get to the concession stands over here without huffing and puffing. So I would relax there on that one. That's the first thing. The second thing is I think John, this is a tough time for John because he so much wants to needle the Mets, but he can't. Because his team is so bad that he doesn't have the ammunition. So not only is he not feeling well, he doesn't have all his ducks in a row. So you got a John Maspeth in his feels on that phone call.
Yeah, I mean, he even complimented the Mets. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
He talked about Mendy being apparently a good manager.
Maybe he isn't feeling well.
Some Mets fans may disagree with you over the last few weeks, but sure. So you're saying he's really drunk on NyQuil.